Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I think.
Welcome back to Six Rings and Football Things. This time it is the Prospect Edition, where we are talking about edge defenders. It is our first podcast about the defensive side of the ball this spring, because quite honestly, the top needs in New England are on the offensive side of the ball. That's why we checked off quarterback, tackle, and wide receiver already. He is Mike Cadlick, if you're watching on video, or you'll soon hear his voice, WEEI.com, Patriots beat writer, and also mock draft expert du jour, whatever you want to call it.
How's that extraordinaire?
I'm Andy Jumbo Hart. We are brought to you by FanDuel. Our friends at FanDuel make every moment more, where I'm looking to make my bank account more if Jason Tatum can pull off the upset and win the MVP. And I know Mike Cadlick agrees with me.
I'm on it too. I don't know if I like it anymore, though. They're winning games. Okay. He's not playing a lot. I like him. He's the best player on the best team, but
we have hope. All we can have at this point is hope. We just got to hope that our $1,000 comes through. That's what we're looking for. But we are talking about the edge defender position. And before we went on, we just talked about the fact that this is not necessarily the biggest need. It's a key position in all of football. It's up there with cornerback, quarterback, wide receiver. Like, the, you know, throw the ball, defend the passing game are kind of the keys to success on all levels of football now. Edge defenders get paid. Edge defenders go high in the draft. From a Patriots perspective, I don't know if it's a premier need, because you still have Matthew Judon. And then there were reports that they were talking extension with Judon, although Judon said nobody told Judon that they were talking extension. So I appreciate his honesty on Twitter, yeah, keeping us informed. You have Keon White from a year ago that I think flashed as a rookie, as a big athletic edge tweener type in the mold of maybe a Dietrich Wise. Yep. You bring back Josh Uche, who turned down boatloads of money elsewhere to stay in New England on a one-year deal. So you have edge defenders in the system who have produced for you. But if you were looking to supplement that, complement that, add to it, I don't rule out anything. If the best player available is an edge defender, maybe they take him. So let's jump into this. Sure. I'm going to lean on you for a minute here as Mr. Mock Draft guy. Okay. Who right now is considered like the top two or three edge defenders in your mind from sort of the mock drafts you've been looking at?
Yeah, what I've seen, obviously Dallas Turner is like the number one defender off the board, really, for most mock drafts. Alabama, 6'3", 22 and a half sacks the last couple seasons. Like,
yep,
he's been a legit stud. So he's number one. Number two, Jared Verse from Florida State, who I tweeted about earlier in the day, is like, I think my favorite player from a defensive perspective in the class. I love his story. Good player. And we can get into him more. Yep. I can go on a rant about him in a second. But Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, and then Chop Robinson from Penn State, and Latu, I think that's how you say his name, from UCLA, yep, is another guy who I've seen in sort of the first round top half. So really four guys I've seen go in the first round in a lot of these mocks. Guys who, depending on, again, what kind of system you want to play and where you want to play these guys, are all really worthy of top 20 picks from how I see it from the edge position. So Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, Latu, and Chop Robinson have been sort of the four guys that my eyes go to.
Okay, so Dallas Turner, I like, don't love. I'll tell you one thing that got me off of him a little bit, and this is stupid old school Andy, players don't wear number one. Blah. No, there was a lot of celebrating, too much celebrating for my liking, including one celebration when there was a fumble being fought for right at his feet, which I hate.
That's the worst. Did you remember happened? George Kittle in the Super Bowl? Did you see that clip? He's like talking to George Karloftis and they're going for the ball behind him. Ridiculous.
I hate it. I know it's modern football, but I kind of hate it. Chris Canty did it, a former Patriots draft pick, famously celebrated while there was a fumble going on. How about we play to the whistle and then celebrate after the whistle? Don't just assume the play is over. So, All-American Defensive Player of the Year in the SEC this year, 6'3", 247 is Dallas Turner. He is, to me, I don't know if I want to compare him to Marvin Harrison Jr., but like, I'll be surprised if he's not a good defensive player in the NFL. Like a good defensive, I don't know if he'll be great. I don't know how many defensive player of the years he'll win in the NFL. I don't think he's actually going to win any. I think he's a good defensive player in the National Football League. I'm not sure where his upside is. I think he's a good athlete. I think he's a good 3-4, probably stand up outside linebacker, edge rusher type. I don't mean to poo poo him because he is explosive. He had one hit on Jaden Daniels that I kind of loved, sneaky loved, when he drove his helmet into his chin and then drove him into the ground, which absolutely would have been a penalty in the NFL. Absolutely would have been a fine. Absolutely would have been all kinds of things.
That's the knock on Jaden Daniels right now, is the fact that he just doesn't go down, and he looks like a Looney Tune character sometimes when he gets hit. Right. He needs to learn to get down. Right. But yeah, Dallas Turner
was one of those pops. I like him. I don't love him. I don't know that I would take him with a top 10 pick. Not necessarily sure I see a top 10 talent there. If I were going to take any of these guys with a top 10 pick, I do think it would be Chop Robinson. Okay. I see some upside with him. He's violent. I love violence in my edge defenders and my defenders of any kind. I love violence. It's what I just said I liked about Dallas Turner. He's
fast as hell too.
Yeah, 4.48 at 260 pounds as an edge defender. Do you know what his first name is, by the way?
I wrote it for my thing tomorrow, but I wrote it in the column and I don't have it in front of me.
Demion. I believe it's D-E-M-E-I-O-U-N, and I'm not even sure how to pronounce it, but
they call him Chop. Is much easier.
Yeah, I'll call him Chop.
Chop's fun. We can do a Chop. We can get a Chop going in the Gillette Stadium crowd.
Yeah, I don't know if that's allowed anymore in the post.
But if you – so I know that the Florida State thing is not allowed, but if you have something that you're chopping, does that count?
Sure, maybe. Maybe we'll can get see. By because his name is Chop. It's not about it's not about an ethnicity or anything. It's about the man's name. Maybe we can get by with it. The thing I like about him is what some people don't like about him. He does seem raw. He does seem a little green. I'm not sure he's a polished player, but I see a good player, and I think he's like a black stallion that the right coach and the right scheme, I feel like, can unleash and get a lot more out of him. And that's what I look for is in top 10 picks is you're good. Can you be great? Because if you're just good, like you have to be good. I don't like when you can't just take somebody and it's all potential, but you have to be good with more potential down the road. And if I were going to argue, so boom or bust, there's a chance he's more of a bust than Dallas Turner.
100%,
but I also think there's more of a boom, too. I think there's a chance he's a defensive player of the year candidate.
I think that's my whole thing with Chop Robinson. And I rank them for the website after we do these podcasts. So I have him as my fourth best edge rusher, but it's exactly that what you just said. It's all ceiling for me. It's all potential. He didn't put up crazy numbers. I think he had six total sacks in three seasons or something like that. He's so, the explosiveness is there. The 4.8 40 is there. But I don't know. The lack of numbers kind of concern me. And I know that's a stat thing. I know that's a reading the box score type of thing to say. But I want to see it, take over on the field. I want to see more than 20 tackles in a season. I want to see more than three sacks in a season. Go get double-digit sacks in college to prove to me that you can go get double-digit sacks in the NFL. So, again, the ceiling is obviously there. He has all of the tools to do so, but he is certainly a boomer bust prospect for sure in the edge rushers.
Okay, so let's talk about the other two that you mentioned, because I think both are really fun football players. Jared Verse, the first thing I wrote about is Bill Belichick would love him.
Oh, yeah.
6'4", 254, 4'5", 8. He's the prototypical Patriot edge of the past where you had to be 6'4 and run a 4'6". Mm-hmm. He does it. He meets the criteria. I know some people have written he can play any scheme, like he's just a football player, and put him on the edge of your defense, hand down, hand up, whatever you want to ask him to do. He loves the bull rush. He is a violent and aggressive. He definitely has that sort of edge to him. He's not the – because some of these guys are pretty boy edge rushers. Like, they just want to beat you with speed, get to the quarterback. Like, they don't want to do any dirty work. I feel like Verse is fine doing the dirty work. He's a little stockier, I feel like. Sort of that running back build where there's a little bit more – rather than the long, lanky, lean kind of guy. He finishes plays. I like a lot about him. And I know he came from Albany, and then it's like, oh, you come from Albany, and then you go to Florida State. Well, no, right? As soon as I get to Florida State, I'm going to prove I'm just as good as I was at Albany. There's a reason I'm here. And I think that transition is intriguing because it's like, oh, he made that jump relatively easy. Is he going to make the 100%. Next jump relatively easy? You know, that continued ability to compete with whatever's around him. So I like Jared Verse a lot.
He's my favorite, like I said, my favorite defender in the class, my favorite edge rusher in the class. I think he's an absolute stud. He was a first-round talent last year and actually went back to school and then put up the same exact numbers and stayed as a first-round talent, where a lot of times, I don't know what it is, but you don't see that. Like, Drake May would have been a first-round pick last year. Spencer Rattler was considered a first-round pick early. I know we're talking quarterbacks, but, you know, there's a lot of different guys who are talented, could go early, but go back to school and they fall off their last season for whatever reason. Jared Verse didn't do that. He played consistent. He also, like you said, he can play in any scheme. But the thing I see of him as a pass rusher is he's fast and gets to the quarterback, but he also like contains really well. Like, he doesn't, you know, let the quarterback get past him. So he's quick off the ball and can get by a defender, but he also doesn't overrush the quarterback. He's always patient, controls the pocket well. So that's sort of my thing on him. And I love his story, like you said, too. Went to UAlbany. I was watching an interview he did during the combine week today with Florio and Chris Sims, and how he was like 6'4", but he was only 200 pounds in his first year at Albany. Then COVID hit. So he went home and his dad was like, we're going to bulk you the F up. And he put on 40 pounds, lifted every single day, came back. He said, like, all my teammates thought I went on steroids when I went home for COVID. And so obviously goes to Albany, plays well, gets the call to Florida State, and then transitions just as well into the SEC. So, or the ACC rather. So a dominant player, I think, between him and Dallas Turner, it's interesting because Turner's obviously the guy that everybody likes, but I love Jared Verse. I think he can be just as good, if not a better player in the pros as Dallas Turner is.
So the next one you talked about is Liatu Latu out of UCLA. Yeah. Went to Washington first. His backstory is he had a neck injury, kind of had to retire-ish.
Yeah.
They told him he was never going to play again. He had some surgeries to fix some things. Didn't play 2021, then 22, 23. He's played for UCLA, not only played at a very high level, was the Pac-12 Player of the Year, All-American, back-to-back 10-sack season, 6'5", 259. I would say 4'6", 440, which looks good. I don't think he's as explosive as some of these other guys at the top of the draft, but I would also, which is probably going to hurt his draft status. I don't know if I would take him in the top half of the first round, but I also think he's an absolute stone cold lock to be, again, a good defensive player for an NFL team. I think he will. I wrote pros pro. I said, if you could get him late first, early second, I think you will love him for years as a key part of your defense. And again, he doesn't always just get by with like the explosion off the edge or whatever. He trails plays, he chases plays, he stays home, he uses his hands, he rips, you see all these various tools in his toolbox that I think will benefit him at the next level. And if he can't always win with athleticism, I think he has a plan B, a plan C, and a plan D, whereas some of the guys that always win with athleticism haven't developed those plans.
He's the technician that you mentioned when saying the opposite of Jared Verse, where he's not going to necessarily bull rush you and run you into the cornerback, but he's polished. Again, he's smooth. He's a technician with his hands, has the moves to get by guys, and uses them really to a T. Like you said, he 23 and a half sacks over 2 years with the Bruins the last 2 years, 11 pressures. And I think, honestly, if he hadn't, you know, not that if he hadn't medically retired, because obviously he went to UCLA and flourished there, but like, if that wasn't in his past, I would see him being a top 15 pick because he's that good. I keep using the word polished, but in saying that, he's ready to play. I think like he's not raw in his skill set. I think he has the skill set to play now. And so, you know, I really wonder if he didn't have the neck injury history in the past, how early he could go. Cause you mentioned it, he's going to be a good pro and he's going to play early and often, I think, wherever he goes.
Okay. So as we go in sort of the next tier, of this grouping, I think there's a lot of solid players. I don't know how many guys I say like, oh, that guy's going to be a steal and have 15 sacks coming out of that next tier. Like, for example, we have a lot of pairings in this draft, we've noticed, with wide receivers and offensive linemen. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, so you have a guy like Chris Broswell, Alabama, who I think he's a good player. I think he's fine. I don't think he's an NFL star. Probably a starter. Probably like a secondary starter. Like, a guy that I might compare him to is another Alabama guy. Like, Anfernee Jennings, I think, is a good, solid football player. Like, no one's ever going to get excited about Anfernee Jennings. They're never going to give him like, oh, we just gave him $50 million guaranteed because he does X, Y, and Z. Now, I know Broswell's a little bit different in that he didn't really play early in his career at Alabama. He's kind of came on late and produced, I thought, at a good level. I'm looking at, I think he has 10 career sacks with 8 of them last year. Like, it was basically the last year where he got the opportunity.
And you're playing opposite, like you said, the best defensive player in the country.
But that's what I'm going to do.
You're going to benefit.
Right. But that's what I'm going to do with him in the NFL, too. Like, I'm going to play him at Matthew Judon. I'm not going to draft him to expect him to be Matthew Judon. If I'm looking for that complementary, and that's where I think fit and opportunity will be important for a guy like him. Another guy that is, a paired-up guy, Adisa Isaac out of Penn State, 6'4", 247. 4.7 4.40, which is a little slower, obviously. There for 5 years, played not great numbers, but put up some production. Again, I thought he was sort of in that smart, techniquey, solid player, not the explosive athlete that some of these other guys or like even a Chop Robinson or whatever would get by on. But if he's your second guy, if he's your other guy, I think he can be an NFL guy.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And I guess building off of that second sort of tier of guys, the one I look at, and you mentioned Dietrich Wise earlier when talking about Jared Verse, I look at Darius Robinson from Missouri as a Dietrich Wise guy who he used to play D-line, played D-line a couple seasons there, 6'5", 285. Obviously on the slower side, he ran a 4.95 40. So, you know, he's probably going to be a fringe guy and play on the inside and the outside, but his size, that competes right away. That's a guy that you don't need to work with in the weight room. You don't need your strength team to be on him from day one. Like, he's a guy that just comes in raw power, big power, and plays from day one. And I think that's something that teams will look at, because you don't need to put on the weight with this guy. You don't need to work with him outside of the football field. You just bring him in and plug him in on day one. So that's Darius Robinson from Missouri. Another guy that flies under the radar for me a little bit is Jonah Ellis from Utah. And he's actually, I believe he's Christian Ellis' brother from the Patriots, linebacker.
Oh, really? Because he also has another. And his brother's on the Falcons, too. Does he have three? Are there three NFL players?
They're either a family of three NFL players, or I'm dead wrong about him being Christian Ellis' brother. But I thought he was. I either read it wrong or I have it, but we'll do the deep dive after that. But he's a really solid player out of Utah. And so, yeah, Darius Robinson and Jonah Ellis are my sort of my tier two guys.
Darius Robinson's interesting. I saw him actually compared to Keon White somewhere. Yeah. Definitely has that like 6'5", 285 bus player kind of build, like dude is built. And I think he's the guy. I want to say he's the guy. He chooses violence sometimes. There was a guy blocking him, and he threw him to the turf like a rag doll that I was like, whoa, if you did that more often, you'd be like, it was Andre Tippett-esque. And I think, and I know the game has changed, you can't do the things Andre Tippett did in the 80s to kill people, but Darius Robinson had a couple plays that really flashed to me. And I think he's an interesting upside kind of guy. Again, not your lead dog, but part of, just like, I don't think Keon White's ever going to be, you know, JJ but Watt.
That's the thing with these guys too, is like Keon White, the Patriots said, or there was a rumor that they would have picked him at pick 17 if Christian Gonzalez wasn't there. Like,
that would have been a bad pick.
I know, but I'm saying, like, Darius Robinson, you talk about him as a tier two guy, but when those first four guys go and teams are looking for edge rushers with upside, he's probably going to end up as a back end of the first round pick, because realistically, Keon White was basically that at 46. I know he sort of fell, but people considered him a first round talent. So, and I did find out that Christian Ellis is Jonah Ellis's brother, so I didn't have it completely wrong. They also have
another brother on the Falcons, Caden Ellis.
Well, they also have another brother, Noah.
How many goddamn Ellis's are there that are in the NFL?
Yeah, there's, Caden, Jonah. Wait. Oh, no. So one of their older brother used to play in the league, and then the three brothers, Caden, Noah, Christian, and now Jonah are all going to play. So this is like the Gronkowski's on steroids. Well, the Gronkowski's are on steroids, but
easy. That's interesting. So the Ellis kid, I watched him. He to me is like the epitome of like really good college football player, really productive. Mm-hmm. Not sure he transitions to the NFL on anything more than like a, I feel like he could be a preseason star.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he could absolutely dominate when he's sort of with his groupings, but then when he has to jump up in regular season action to play against like the starters, I'm not sure he makes that jump. Okay. But hey, growing up in that family, who knows? Maybe he's got,
that's what I'm saying. There's something there in those genes, right? For sure.
Yep. Couple other guys that I watched. One guy that I found really interesting, and I'm not even sure, maybe you can help me out on this. I don't know. Not sure where he's rated, quote unquote. But Austin Booker out of Kansas, he is 6'5", 240, 479, 40. I'll be honest, he's really long, long arms. He reminds me of a skinny Mike Vrabel. Early in his career, Mike Vrabel. He looks and plays just, and I mean with the versatility, can rush, can cover, can bat passes, pick off, but like can do it all. He was at Minnesota, transferred to Kansas. He was all Big 12 this year, kind of had a breakout year. He didn't really play at Minnesota, so I think there's probably some upside uncertainty as to where he is in his development. Why didn't he play earlier? If you tell me you can get him in the middle of the draft somewhere, I think on the edge of your defense, he has nothing but upside. So Austin Booker, I starred actually and gave in my little scouting system two up arrows because I think he's better than what people probably consider right now. Another guy, Muhammad Kamara out of
Colorado. I love him. That was where I was going. Yep, Mo Kamara.
He undersized because he's 6'1", which for the sort of as an edge guy is undersized. You're looking for length there. We all know, you know, Joe Alt is going to be 6'8", trying to block a guy who's 6'1". Mm-hmm. 5-year player, a lot of production, sacks, tackles for loss, effort, flash, relentless, like any of those words you want to use for like that active, try hard, whatever defensive player, I feel like he fulfills. And at 4.57, like that's no shame in a 40 there. In the right spot, I don't know whether he's a sub guy, backup guy kind of player, but hard not to like the effort and attitude and the things he brings to the table.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Mo Kamara. I think when we had Kyrie Thompson who was in my old seat now is at WBUR. He was at the Shrine Bowl and he was raving about Mo Kamara. So he had me intrigued on him. And then, you know, as this came up, I, you know, dug into him a little more. And like you said, he's a great player, a guy who has had a ton of production at Colorado State. The size is obviously sometimes a concern, but again, if you can grow into it and, you know, move like, size is size, right? You can some like height's one thing, but you can put on. Yeah, we know, Jumbo knows. but if you can put on weight and still play at that elite level, then that's gonna, you know, says all you need to know about a guy like that. And so I had one more guy that I was just looking at. It was Mo Kamara, and then Eric Watts. I guess I had him in a mock draft a couple weeks ago from UConn, local guy. intrigued to see how he competes at the next level. I think he's a guy who is sort of like Keon White-ish in that he can play on the inside too. He's a little bit on the bigger side. I don't have his numbers right in front of me, but
6'6", 275.
Yeah, so that's a D tackle who might help you out on the edge if he can get up to speed. So like him, intrigued by, again, the fact that UConn guy, and I want to keep an eye on him. So
UConn guy who I don't think is going to go very high in the draft. Right. Probably a developmental guy, but certainly because he doesn't have the production. And yeah, it's like, why doesn't he? He's playing not even at the highest of levels. And it's like, but he has, to me, like 6'6", 275, 4'6", 40. Like,
those are
things
tools
you can't teach. Right. Like, that's worth trying. And if it doesn't work, to me, that's what some of the back end of the draft is for, taking shots on whether it's a versatile guy who can play a bunch of positions and he's a tough football player, or raw measurables like that. Because in 5 years, he had 9 sacks. But he's another violent guy, likes to put his size. I would love to see him as a bouncer or in like a bar fight, because I think he would definitely kill people. That type. I don't hate him as a local guy to keep an eye on. So as we wrap up here on Six Rings and Football Things, edge defenders, Mike Cadlick, do you expect, now I think I have the answer to this because mock draft 1.0, 2.0, 3.0, I don't believe you've taken an edge defender in the first 3 mock drafts you've done.
No, so I had Kamara in one of them.
Okay.
And I think I took a flyer at Eric Watts in the 7th round of one of them. So, but again, guys who aren't the top end of the class, right? Like guys who could easily be cut candidates as much as, you know, if they even get on the back end of the roster. But I did not use a premier pick on an edge rusher yet. That's for sure.
If you had to.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, you trade down. Let's say they trade down. They go 11, 23, and 34, and they're just looking at the board. If you were to be enticed to use one of those 3 picks on an edge defender, who would it be?
It's Jared Verse. Love him. He's my favorite. I talked about it earlier in the show, but love his story. Love the drive. Love the fact that he put on weight. The fact that he put on weight and continued to play at a high level. Put on weight, played at a high level, and then went to D1, played at another high level, went back to school, played at the high level again. Like, that's a guy who just knows ball, who plays ball, and is a stud at football. So that's who I want in my system. Again, I don't think the Patriots are going to do it, but he's going to be a stud in the league for a long time. He's my favorite defender in the class. So Jared Verse is my pick for that. What's yours, Mr. Hart?
If I were going to use a high pick, as I said, I think it'd be Chop Robinson. And I would just hope that he reaches what I think his potential is, because I think that is elite. I'm going to say Austin Booker. The look of him, like Mike Vrabel, to me, just looks like the kind of versatile, athletic, long defender that even Gerard Mayo could like, even the new coaching staff could like and find a spot for him. So I'm going to say Austin Booker as an untapped, room to grow kind of defender out of Kansas. So
all right,
that's going to put the wraps on another Six Rings and Football Things prospect preview podcast, where we focused on the edge defender position. He's Mike Cadlick. I am Andy Jumbo Hart. We are brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more. And we will be back next week with more focus on another position. Mike Cadlick, I'm going to say we're going to look at the cornerback position next week. Stay on defense. Another premier pass defending position. Maybe, just maybe, get a long-term buddy for Christian Gonzalez in the back end of the defense.
Love it.
So for Mike Cadlick, I'm Andy Jumbo Hart. Thanks for listening. Please rate, subscribe, review, download the Odyssey app, and get our podcast there. We are building the Six Rings football community here in this critical offseason for the Patriots, where Drake May is going to be the number 3 pick. I'm just going to keep sliding that in. Speak it into existence.
Got to do it.
Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.
See ya.